We're speaking today about the prerogatives and our privileges in Christ. And these three key important aspects of the foundations of the Word of God will become very, very strong for us. Faith, hope, and love. These three. They are foundational, and they will really be the real building blocks as never before understood, I think, because more is going to be unveiled, of how we will live our lives and what we will need in today and for sure tomorrow. The prerogatives and the privileges of Christ are so important to grasp because they allow us then by faith to believe and to stand and to see them come to pass. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word that's spoken of God. And we latch on to it. Let's turn, for those of us that have our Bibles with us, to a very familiar story. John chapter 4, the woman at the well, picking up in verse 7 of chapter 4. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, "How is it you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan and a woman, for a drink?" For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Certainly men and women didn't have much interaction there like this. Jesus said unto her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Amen. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. May there be more of a boldness, like our dear sister, more of a boldness to step out in initiative and ask, seek, for surely it's the Father's desire to give you it. Amen. As we go through now these short seven or eight points, I'm just praying that they will come alive for each of us in a new way, and we'll have something to live on as we go forward into our day's course and journey. The first privilege that I'd like to bring up is a privilege of appropriation. A privilege of appropriation. To you it has been granted to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. Turn with me to Matthew 13. You'll recall in this famous chapter of Matthew, the great four or five parables that Jesus spoke of to the people. And the disciples asked Jesus, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" His reply was, and he said unto them, "To you," verse 11 of 13, "it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." I'm revealing my mysteries to you. "But to them has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall more be given. And he who has in abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables. While seeing, they do not see. While hearing, they do not hear. Nor do they understand." This capacity to know and to understand, this capacity to appropriate, is so foundational for our walk with God. We come into a life with God through appropriation. We appropriate his righteousness to displace our unworthiness. We appropriate his light to dispel our darkness. And within the human spirit, we have the ability to draw. We see the young children, their ability to absorb and draw. It's almost like a sponge. And the human being is like a sponge. We can absorb these things. We were meant to absorb God. Think of it. You were meant to absorb God. To sense him, like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden.
We're living out the life of God.
Because we were created to be one with him. There was no intended separation. This was never God's plan, and yet we have been totally, completely
ripped off by Satan, if you think of it. But the day of restoration, well, the wheels turn kind of slowly. The days of restoration are now being restored so that we will become again. The book of generation begins with the defeat. We've lived with that defeat, that failure, that shortcoming, that separation from God for all these years. But the book of Revelation talks about, once again, the return of the oneness with Him that we were meant to have for all eternity. It's your ability to appropriate, to ask, to seek, to find, to draw, to have, to acquire is our God-given right. Ask boldly, dear ones. Ask boldly and appropriate. It's the hour of appropriation, of saturation. And that's why our worship is so important. Because just by being in the presence of what's happening here is healing. It's life. You remember where the waters flowed, it turned not only everything fresh and alive, it was the living water, again, mystical. The Bible is such a mystical book, but it turned everything into life. Yeah. And this living water that she could have acquired, she didn't know who she was talking to. Yeah. But if she knew, the living water, that's what ours is to have. Appropriation, the great privilege and prerogative for us as human beings to appropriate, that's number one. Moving to number two. 1 Peter chapter 4, for those of you that have your Bibles with you, turn to a quick passage here out of 1 Peter chapter 4. We're titling this second point, The Privilege to Choose, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. For time already has passed. Boy, if it was already passed then, what is it now? You know what I mean? It's really way past time. For the time has already passed sufficiently for you to carry out the desires of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, of lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. And in all this, they are surprised that you don't run with the same sort of excess of dissipation, and they malign you. But they shall give an account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Okay, the power to choose. God gave Adam and Eve, right? The power to choose. It's curious, if you read it again, there also in the garden was the tree of life. But there was a choice that was made and a great deal of persuasion that was given, certainly, by the evil one. And a very, very poor decision was made. Every decision that we make has consequences. Choices that we make have consequences. There's not a choice that you make daily that doesn't have some sort of consequence associated with it. Therefore, our ability to choose wisely is so important in God. So important. Choose wisely. Choose wisely in this hour. Time is precious. Our ability to use our time wisely, the ability to make proper decisions is so important. We can be doing a lot of things, the Mary and Martha syndrome, right? You can be doing a lot of things in life, and soon you'll find your year is gone, your day is gone, your week is gone, your life is gone. It's like in the movie City Slickers, for those of you that like movies. Yeah. One finger, he raises one finger. Billy Crystal, what's the one finger, what's that? And it was a, what's the name of the actor? It begins with a P.
Yeah.
He says, that's for you to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Only one really thing's important. That's for you to find out what it is. Like the ability to choose. God's given that. He could have created automatons, right? The angels. Though they have a certain degree of ability to choose, but this is why we're going to teach the angels what rejoicing is, because we know what redemption is all about. Amen. 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 The ability to choose. Oh, God, help us to choose rightly. Number three, we move on. The privileges of freedom which are ours in Christ Jesus. It was for freedom that He set us free. What is that famous chapter out of Galatians? 5? It was Paul said,
It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Yeah. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of bondage. How many people feel like they're still in bondage? Now, again, we've talked coming out of Egypt and all the things that we know about through all the years, but aren't there still levels of bondage that we still feel and restrictions and still feel like barriers and we're still kind of like handcuffed, if you will? The shackles are being broken off. Christ, when he rose from the dead, when he died and rose, right, the blood, broke the veil, that access would be made freely into the throne of the heavenly realms. The veil's been rent.
Thick, by the way.
Was it 18 inches thick?
Yes.
So the veil's been rent. Access has been provided. Our ability to choose is there. He isn't calling us to bondage. He's calling us to liberation and freedom. Now, we could create a strong case that here in America, for those of you that lived a few years, and I think most of the audience here has lived a few years, we can probably look back and say, even in America, some of our freedoms have been eroded. They probably have. We won't go down that road too far, but only to say that it has been for freedom that Christ has set us free, and only true freedom in any society can be realized when a people experience the freedom that God intended for people to experience. It's a freedom of a liberation, of removing the heart of stone, that we have a heart of God. It's a liberation of darkness into light. It's a liberation from sin, out of sin and destruction and death, into life, liberty, and the pursuit of, it says happiness, but the founding fathers knew that only happiness could be found in God. It was really the pursuit of God. They understood that, although they couldn't write that like that, but they knew that the pursuit of happiness could only be found in pursuing our freedom in God.
There was one word there that was mouth-to-mouth, Christ is forgiveness. That is a burden if you are not forgiving everyone. And that will free the world of if we could forgive.
Yes, yes. Powerful. Thank you, Thelma. Number four, the privilege to become. God has given us, dear ones, the privilege to become. I know as we start our lives, elementary school, junior high school, and grandiose things and ideas and so forth, and careers and plans, and all that's wonderful and that's good. But God has given us the ability to become what? Who said it? There we are, exactly, John. Yeah. The ability to become sons of God. Think of it. That in itself, what a privilege. The ability to become one with God. We are in the realm and the presence of great, great people, one another. Because you have chosen, he's accepted the humble of the earth. All of us know we're nothing. But in him, we're made as kings and priests unto him. Another scripture. Don.
I don't know where the verse is, but you don't hear it preached much in the great body of Christ, because they had an elitist thing over there that needs to be destroyed. But anyway, yeah. It says he was the firstborn of many brethren.
Yes, correct.
Who will do the things Hebrews. He did, and greater things than these
shall he do, because I go to the Father. That's John 17 then. Yeah, exactly. A little bit of mixing. Yeah, that's exactly right. Powerful. Good. Glad that the Spirit prompted you on that. Powerful. Very, very powerful. So we have the right to become children of God. No matter what your ethnicity is, your background, I'm an orphan. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's bringing us all regardless of race, color, creed, anything, into a oneness with him. What a privilege.
One spirit.
What a privilege.
Everybody's an individual.
One spirit. Yeah. It's hard to almost imagine that, isn't it? But yet, if you think of it, each cell in your body is a little bit different, isn't it? Each has a little bit different responsibility. I mean, the hand cannot say to the feet, I don't need you, and the eye can't say to the ear, I don't need you, in 1 Corinthians 12, right? But the privilege and the prerogative to become sons and daughters of the King What a unbelievable heritage we have in Christ. Amen. Amen. We move on to number 5. I think we only have, a couple more. All right.
This is 4.
That's 4. That was 4, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, they may have lost one in there. Let's speak a little bit about the privilege of giving and the privilege of loving. Freely we've received, freely we're going to give. Silver and gold we have none in Acts, right? But what we have, we give you. Again, not ever damming up anything in ourselves, but becoming a full functioning, flowing being of an extension of God wherever you are in the earth, wherever you are in the universe. The ability to appropriate and the ability to give are just incredible qualities that God has endowed us with that are certainly His natures too. He has certainly given of Himself in the form of His Son in terms of all the promises and the provisions. And freely we're going to not only receive, freely we are going to give and be channels of that life unto the earth. Because Romans 8 talks about the world is waiting for the liberation to come to what God had to restrict nature until you're free. And that's going to lead us up to the most wonderful privilege at the end will be the ability to actually speak the liberation of the Christ that has liberated you, of the Christ that has made you one with Him, of the Christ empowering you so that you'll be free in a oneness with the Father and a oneness with the Son so that you're going to be able to liberate all of creation. But I get ahead of myself. So we finish up here on number 4 or 5 with the ability to give and the ability to extend love. Freely you've received from Him and you'll be an open door to your brother and sister, to your neighbor, to wherever God leads you in your course of life, to give to others. It's powerful. Think of it. This is a great privilege we have. Amen.
Amen.
Move to the next privilege, which is the privilege of knowing. Let's turn Matthew 7. For this one, Matthew 7, please. Matthew 7, verse 7. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, that's number 8. 7:7 it is. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son asks him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he is asking him for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, your heavenly Father who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask of him? Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do for them, for this is the law and the prophets. There was also another scripture that I was wanted to pull in here about the wisdom of the knowing. Let's see here. Well, let me build on this one with the ability to know. The ability to know, the ability to understand are also endowments that God has given to us, but so much, shall we say, of our lives blocks that intuitive knowing and understanding. We have retained a small bit of it. We see a bit of that with some of the clairvoyance that some people seem to have and so forth. But the ability to know and the ability to understand, don't you just marvel that Christ, when he walked, he understood and knew things. Why? Because he was in direct communication at all times with the Father. I do only those things that I hear the Father speaking. I speak only those things I hear the Father speaking. I do only those things that I see the Father doing. His communication with the Father was just so incredible. That too is what we must believe for and have, because it's definitely where we're headed. But we want to continue to open up the realms for people so that they have true knowledge, not only of God, but knowing His Word, knowing His will. Very, very important. Revelation knowledge is what I'm speaking about. Our ability to have revelation knowledge is there.
Amen.
But so much of it has been blocked and hindered by a lot of different things. But we want to speak now the word that would open up the heavenly communication between your life and your destiny, which is to communicate with your Heavenly Father and to have the free flow of the knowledge of the wisdom which are hidden in Him, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Okay? He's given to us the roadmap, the Bible, but the Bible even itself doesn't explain a lot of things that we need daily wisdom and knowledge on. That comes by insight that we have by the Holy Spirit. So this ability to know is also a privilege of a human being. We also claim this as ours in Christ Jesus. Will you do that with me? That's an important one. And the final one is the ability to speak His word. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter 4. The outflow. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Each one is given a special gift, employed in serving to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so by the strength which God supplies, and so forth. Our ability to speak into existence, so much, be it Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, some of these real great men of God, they were such proclaimers of His word. His fire was burning within his life that he couldn't help but speak the word of God. And once again, we're believing for this fire to rest upon men's lives, that they too will so be moved by God to utter the thing into existence. Because this is how it will come. It will come through the prophetic word that's spoken in this hour. This is why prophecy is such an important tool for the remnant, because it is the vehicle and the channel by which things are created. God spoke a word in the beginning, and it was so. There was darkness on the face of the deep until God moved in the earth. And He said, let there be, and it became. The creative, anointed, spoken word now will also be the thing that will bring forth and open up this new realm for all of us. So we adhere highly to the gift of the spoken word and the anointed prophecies and word of God that's being uttered in this hour. Very, very key. Someone? Don?
No, I'm just thinking that when the Father said, let there be light, He actually
deep, very deep. Yeah. So the anointed word spoken in this hour is key to unlocking so much for all of us. That's why, you know, the tongue is very, very important. It has to be guarded. Amen. One final thought. You recall out of Old Testament with Moses. Moses was restricted from entering in the promised land. It was kind of a harsh, shall we say, almost punishment in many ways, but he was told by God to speak to the rock that it might flow forth the living water. You remember? And for the people were harassing him and annoying him, and he ended up taking his rod, stick rod, and he smote the rock.
And he was not allowed into the promised land.
Moses violated a type. This is very, very important. Moses violated a type of what God would establish in the days that would come. That literally speaking the word of God forth will create the miracle of what will be. This is why we as human beings have the ability to speak and literally see created our very, very words. Think about the miracles that Christ did, the way that he spoke a word and healed them. This great day of speaking the prophetic word again will be really, really important. And we just loose the voices that will speak under the power and the anointing of God to bring forth the new age of the glory of God filling the earth. Because the exciting thing that we live under now, dear ones, is our hope and expectation of soon our risen Lord will manifest His full presence of the kingdom and the glory of God on the earth. So we live with this great hope. I trust that these promises and these prerogatives that we've touched on but briefly, and there are many more, I think a whole book could be written on these, will be a blessing for you now as we look to go forward from here into our new year.